I'm really rich. I'll show you that next time.
You know, I get accused of being kind of moderate and center. I plead guilty.
You do not. Congress does not regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress.
Les, whatever happened to Bernie Sanders? There's a movement out there, but what a campaign. Joining us, welcome back to the Elections Crimes Bulletin. We've been doing it now, Greg Palast, for 20 weeks, and apparently it's more important now than ever. There is sort of a look-alike operation happening with what you've been reporting on CrossCheck, and we've seen it coming down now in Indiana, and it's quite brutal. You want to remind people, we've been looking at this for the last couple of days. What the hell happened there?
Let's give a summary. This is Greg Palast, and yeah, here we've been working on this for 20 weeks, and they're still at it. I guess they're just not afraid of us yet, Dennis. We just got to work harder. here's the deal. The Indiana State Police have raided the offices of the Indiana Voter Registration Project, which was registering minority voters in Indiana. It's hard enough for them to vote because Indiana is where this whole business started with the with requiring photo ID to vote. So they are now claiming that the group has registered people with false addresses and wrong names, etc., and that therefore they're raiding the group. They took their telephones, they took everything. By the way, that stops cold the group from doing the registration before the registration deadline passes, which is quite soon. So you
these are minority focused groups, right? These are minority focused groups,
right? That's right. And so what's happening is that the minority focused groups, so number one, they've just shut down this group, which is now under investigation. They took their cell phones, they took their office equipment, they took everything.
Laptops.
Second, they scare people from signing up with doing voter registration when these groups come to their door, right? The Indiana Voter Registration Project. Imagine going to their door now and saying, by the way, please sign up. When you do, you may get a call from the Indiana police to ask if you are if you're subject to arrest because you've made out a false registration. And now I've called the Indiana Secretary of State and the Indiana police and said, you say that there are hundreds of names out of 45,000 registered that are false, that are deliberately false. This is a federal crime. So how many people have you arrested? Now, they're going after the group. Now, so wait just a second. How many of these, give me some of the examples and some of the names. First of all, if they're phony, if they don't exist, you might as well give them to me. You're not harming anyone because they don't exist. And what's the evidence here, right? So they do a big hoo-ha that they're doing this big raid, including, by the way, this was started off by a police trooper who's running for sheriff on the Republican line. That's not a small point. And so they're intimidating this group, which is registering voters. And here's the other part of the game. Because they have to investigate, this could take weeks, Dennis. It could take weeks to investigate whether these are phony voters.
And how many weeks? And how many weeks do we have to investigate?
Well, it could take 6-7 weeks, and the election's in 5 weeks, and it's a shame, but 45,000 minority voters may not have a chance to vote. And they're claiming, I love this, they do this 1984 speak, which is, they say that they're helping protect black voters because if someone deliberately changed their registration, it's an attempt by this Democratic Party finance group to knock off black voters off the Indiana voter rolls. Really? So, look, I've been through this. This is Greg Palast, by the way, if you're wondering who is this guy with dripping with sarcasm and irony over an American tragedy, okay? An American tragedy. What this is very similar to the... It's almost a jokey parody of my investigation of interstate cross-check. Now, I called Indiana. They wouldn't give me the names. It's all confidential. I went through this. They did the same thing where they said groups were that people were voting twice, registering twice in two different states. And so they were marking people, I mean, obviously double voters, people like James Brown. You know, James Brown votes in Georgia. James Brown votes in Virginia. Clearly,
there's a rare name.
The same guy, because it's a rare name. 288 exactly Georgia voters named James Brown.
In Georgia? 288?
288 in Georgia alone who voted in a second state, they claim, or registered with intent to vote second state. Fraudulent voters, so they're removing them from the voter rolls. And that's up to a million people by November. I mean, this thing's been hit. Well, I can't say it's hidden. The Congressional Black Caucus is jumping up and down. I spoke with Jill Stein yesterday. The Green Party has issued a call for a Justice Department investigation. This is why I think we need to elect a black president. Oh, wait. Well, anyway, that's a different point. The head of the Congressional Black Caucus, Alcee Hastings, who's the dean of the Black Caucus, personally walked a complaint over to the Attorney General and put it in her hand, saying this is a way to wipe out black.
Have they
voters.
Responded so to this attack? Have they responded yet? Is anybody at the federal?
The Justice Department?
Yeah.
They're busy. They got to hunt down Ed Snowden, right?
Right. They're busy.
They have to learn Spanish to go to the Ecuador embassy.
Right.
You know, it's not so easy when you have when the Justice Department has all its time spent on finding, you know, people like Chelsea Manning and Ed Snowden. How can you? There's just no time. In fact, this is no joke here. Are you ready for this, Dennis?
Yeah.
The Justice Department, and, you know, and obviously under their Republican control, has said that they're going to reduce the number, they're going to greatly cut back the number of Election Day Justice Department observers on November 8th.
This is good timing.
The Voting Rights Act has been gutted, so they have less power. But there's more danger, right? It's like saying, well, you know, we no longer have security gates on our store, so because of that, we're removing the store detective.
Right, everybody knows we don't need this kind of protection anymore. It's obvious that
everything is cool.
Good. Listen,
right.
Hold on. That's
Go
the
on,
voice
just,
of...
Just walk
that's...
on. So this is, again, this is Greg Powell's Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to the Elections Crime Bulletin, and so I don't want to mix these two things because they're very similar. There's interstate cross-check, which we busted because I had 5 months, and I got those secret lists. Here, I would love to get these secret lists, but I got 5 weeks before the election to get these secret lists. And, you know, they're stopping us from getting this material as journalists. And by the way, the New York Pravda, New York Times, they call it now, they don't even ask for the list. They don't ask for it because they're very polite. If you're told you can't get this stuff, they say, oh, we can't get this stuff. It's a criminal investigation.
It's unavailable. So they report that.
You're not allowed to have it. It's a criminal investigation. Well, wait a minute. We're talking about, first of all, they're claiming, they're doing this little twist. They're not saying that these voters are registering illegally. They are saying that these voters are victims of this Democratic Party minority-focused organization on registering voters, that they are the victims of this organization, which is deliberately changing their registrations so they can't vote. Now, this would be a very first in American history. These voters, by definition, are not minors because they're voters. Why is the name of a victim? Why is the name of a victim, except in a sexual crime? A name of a victim is never withheld by the police. In fact, it would help the investigation if the victims were named. So why are the victims' names confidential? They are not under investigation, supposedly, right? So it's a con. It's the worst con of all. It's the old Republican game that there's massive voter fraud going on, when of course it's election fraud by the elections officials. This is very similar to the story that I have busted for Rolling Stone on our Elections Crime Bulletin. And now, by the way, it came out this week, my book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires.
That came out yesterday, right, Greg?
Yeah, we'll get there.
And we're going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But you have to say that this is sort of a copycat or a lookalike or this was inspired by the big guy in Kansas.
Right. So this is very similar to what Chris Kobach did in putting together 30 Republican secretaries of state for this interstate cross-check thing, saying that voters have voted twice. But there, they're saying that the voters are the criminals. Here, they're actually saying that the voter registration organization is the center of this criminal activity, and they took all this voter registration organization's stuff, from cell phones, everything, which makes it impossible for them to register the voters, right? Plus, they're scaring people. God forbid this group shows up at your door and says, please register. They'll say, wait, aren't you under investigation? You know, I read about you guys in the paper. They're scaring people, and I have actually with me my assistant producer, Jevin Lamar from Dayton, and he's telling me he was for our film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. He's going through Dayton with the list of people being accused of voting twice in the African American community, in poor community, in his own neighborhood. It's his own neighborhood. Some of these are his relatives, and he couldn't get people to go on camera to talk about it because you know what? Black people go on camera who've been accused of committing the felony crime of registering twice or voting twice, they don't think that that always ends up so well.
Yeah.
And this, once again, so it's scaring people from away from registering. It's blocking 45,000 registrations, which this group put in. By the way, there's a solution to this, Dennis. And I want people to think solution. One, of course, is political action. Two is exposure by a real press, which means KPF, KPFA, and the listeners of the flat at the Flashpoint stations. And three, please register online. If you think you're registered, you may not be. Almost every state, the registration is still open. For the presidential election, check. I know you've voted 20 years in the same place. No good. Please go and check your registration online. And if there's anything wrong, your name is missing, misspelled, wrong address, you've moved, anything, please re-register. Do it online. And I emphasize, you can do this at any state Secretary of State's website in America. You can register online. Do so online, much better than paper, because the paper registrations, as you hear now, they find all kinds of reasons to block, not put on. In fact, if you start trying to register on a piece of paper right now, the chance you will be added to the voter rolls in time for November is pretty slim. Please register online if you're not registered. If you are registered, check to make sure you're still registered. They're going through these voter rolls, especially if your name is like Jesse Jackson, David Lee, Maria Hernandez. I'm telling you, I've got a list of 2 million names. Your name's on it, man. You ain't going
to
be voting.
All right, you're listening to the Election Crimes Bulletin. That's the voice of Greg Palast, author of The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, his reconstituted book, incredibly important book that goes along with his film, which is coming to town here in the Bay Area for an extended run, probably in some town where you're listening in right now. Greg, remind people, the film, I feel good now that I've seen the film and I have a real understanding of what you try to do in a, shall we say, timely fashion a few months before instead of a few weeks before sort of this prevention game.
It's stunning. I mean, by the way, just so you know, this whole thing with the Indiana voters, it's not a publicity stunt for The Best Democracy Money Can Buy.
It's on, but it is on, but it is so freaking unbelievable.
It's like the film is reporting Thursday's news. So the thing is, but here's the deal. The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, it's premiered around the country. It's going around the country. It'll be, for example, in the Bay Area on October 14th, with Jello Biafra hosting. But the important thing is that if you go to gregpalast.com and get the information, you can also sign the petition of the Congressional Black Caucus, the Green Party, and some important Hispanic leaders, including 18 Million Rising, the Asian American group, very important in San Francisco.
Absolutely.
Please, we have to make the Justice Department commit justice, whether they're ready to do so or not. And whether you see the film or not, though, you know, it's the least painful way to get the information about the collapse of American democracy. But I'm telling you this right now. This Indiana thing is, you're right, it's a copycat crime. The copycat crime of the interstate cross-check crime that we expose in the film. Again, they're always, it's like squeezing on a balloon. We catch them on one thing, they start another, but they're all variants of the same thing. Please, and I'm telling you, if you're listening now, there is a personal solution at least. Check your registration online. If you've been hit, register again. If you've filled out a piece of paper and your name's not there right now, register right online right now. This is really important. They don't, and for those people say, oh, they're just going to steal my vote anyway. No. Because they don't want you to vote. That's why you have to vote. Make them steal your vote. I know I'm giving a pitch here. It sounds like a revival tent meeting, but I'm telling you, Dennis, you got to vote because they're doing everything in the world to prevent it. I'm telling you, check your registration now. And it's not only going to be Indiana. If they're trying it, if they're rolling it out in Indiana, you bet that they're going to be doing it elsewhere. And in fact, they may be doing it elsewhere. It's just that the Indiana GOP has decided to do a rain dance, say, see, there's fraudulent voters. But the truth is, this is what they did with the ID laws, Mr. Pence, in 2006, Governor Pence, when they instituted a requirement for current photo state ID, and they stopped 10 nuns from voting because, and this is in the book, 10 nuns from voting because they had driver's licenses, but the licenses were expired because the nuns were 80 and 90 years old, and so they stopped driving, but they couldn't vote. Now, that was a cute story, but the truth is, in Indiana, are you ready for this? Matt Barreto, the statistician, demographer, said about 80,000 African Americans in Indiana were stopped from voting.
Really?
By the voter ID.
By the way, who's the governor of Indiana?
Oh, is it? It's this guy Pence something.
Oh, ho, ho.
Oh! By the way, I got a great answer. I'm always asking politicians yes or no answer questions just to see if they can answer straight. They never do. And yesterday, it was refreshing. I bet Chilstein, I have one question for you. He said, "Is Mike Pence a putz?" I said, "Yes."
I mean, come on. Like what? What? It's happening. It's happening in this guy's home state. This extreme right-wing fascist, and there isn't a journalistic question about it.
Yeah, no one's asking Pence, why is this raid on the rights of voters of color in your state? Why is that going on while you are a governor of this state? Remember, he hasn't resigned. You know, he's not vice president yet. And by the way, the reason he ran, and the reason they're knocking out these voters, and the reason he's running for vice president, is the chance that Pence could have been reelected governor is you know, pretty zero. Because the demographics of Indiana has changed, and people have gotten unstupid, and they've caught on to this guy. That's why he kind of snuck up the political food chain, because he couldn't get reelected. This is very important to understand what's going on in Indiana. It is not. Remember, Barack Obama won Indiana in 2008. So how do they take a state which was won by a Democratic African American, and how do they now say, oh, well, that's still a red state? The answer is that in 2013, the Voting Rights Act was gutted by the Supreme Court, and this stuff could not happen if the Voting Rights Act were in process, because they would need to get the approval of the federal government to go after these guys. And there's no way that they go to the federal government and say that attacking a vote registration group in a minority community isn't going to affect minority registration. So it's the loss of Martin Luther King's Voting Rights Act of 1965 that is allowing this type of police state. It is literally a police state tactic against the voters of Indiana. So look out, everyone, and don't snicker and say, oh, that's Indiana. They're, you know, right, just a bunch of roundhead fascists. Right. No, yeah. You better check your own registration.
I remember Brooklyn. I'm recalling Brooklyn right now. A whole bunch of votes disappeared there, and that's not the South. Maybe it was South. Yeah. Was that South Brooklyn?
126,000 voters lost their right to vote in Brooklyn. And by the way, Dennis, did you know this? Kings County, which is Brooklyn, is one of the named places under the Voting Rights Act of 65. It was, again, with the destruction of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, they were able to remove all those voters in Brooklyn, because Brooklyn, in particular, Kings County, is listed as a historically racist violator of minority voting rights, according to the federal government listing. And they were off the hook when the Supreme Court knocked out the Voting Rights Act. Brooklyn was in the list with Mississippi.
That you know, and just to be clear, Brooklyn, if you separate it out from the rest of New York City, is the fourth largest city in the country.
And so don't think, oh, I live in New York, we're cool, we're progressive, we watch PBS. No, no, no. You better check your voter registrations everywhere, because they're going after everyone. And I'm going to tell you something else. As Jill Stein said yesterday, by the way, I'm interviewing her for Rolling Stone, and I'm doing this work for Rolling Stone. I don't endorse no one. But she laid it out pretty clearly. I said, how come the Democrats aren't doing something about voters of color getting wiped out? And her answer, and I spoke to Ajamu Baraka, he had the same view, that's the vice presidential candidate, is, well, what are black voters? They're the most progressive, consistently the most progressive voting bloc in the Democratic Party. And the progressive wing, that is the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party, is a threat to the leadership. So they are not going to protect your vote. Don't count on the Democratic Party to protect the votes of Democrats. Ain't happening. You protect your own vote.
You know, I have to say this. I've said this before. In terms of the one of the most poignant things in terms of my own reporting history of 30 or 40 years was in 1995, we talked about this, going down and investigating the burning of over 100 churches in 95 and 96. And we got to about 30 of those churches, Greg, and every freaking one, almost invariably, when we spoke to the folks who had their churches burned down, the feds came, and what they did is they talked about both their burned churches, and then they also had some questions about voter fraud. So they piggybacked the church burning investigation on a voter fraud investigation, that way silencing people from complaining about the burnt churches.
Exactly. What they do is, and this is a scary thing, what they're doing is they're going to call people up and say, this is the Indiana State Police who are investigating these crimes. Please call us back.
You registered
with this organization. That's you can imagine the chill that's going through this. Like I say, our assistant producer, his own family, his own neighborhood, we had all these people on this hit list, this cross-check list that I was investigating in the film. We did get one gentleman in the film, a guy named Donald Alexander Webster Jr., accused of voting in Ohio, but accused of voting a second time in Virginia as Donald Eugene Webster Sr. Slam dunk, a lie, but he was one of the only people willing to come forward and be on camera because he said, you know, I can't let this
stand. Can anybody ever be a junior senior? Like John J.J., junior, senior?
I can't tell you how many fathers and sons are on this list as double voters because they ignored whether someone was junior or senior. And, you know, it's funny, but it's...
not funny.
It's not funny. It's what we say. The system has switched from white sheets to spreadsheets. But it's just the Ku Klux Klan. And by the way, I'd like to remind you that the Ku Klux Klan was founded not in Mississippi, but in Indiana.
Yes, indeed. Good point, Greg Palast. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we are out of time for this bulletin. It's your weekly protection operation with Greg Palast, author of The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. The book is out now. Congratulations, Greg.
It's a sequel to the bestseller. So it's The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. It's the sequel called A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits.
And it expands with great depth and focus what you do in the movie, which is also quite deep, Greg. Really, it's quite a powerful film. I'm looking forward to seeing it again, talking more about it. We always appreciate you. GregPalast.com if you want to communicate with Greg. He is available. All the things that he's into are happening at GregPalast.com. I'm Dennis Bernstein. Stay tuned. Thanks, Greg.
You're welcome.
I'm really rich. I'll show you that in a second.
You know, I get accused of being kind of moderate and center. I plead guilty.
You do not. Congress does not regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress. It's only I do. I just got it dirty.